blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 53, stanzas 1 and 2. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green, he leadeth me, and the quiet waters by. And the second 1 and 2 of Psalter 53.
This evening is from the Song of Solomon's, and there of chapter 5. Song of Solomon, chapter 5. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends. Drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat, how shall I put it on? I have washed my feet, how shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, that ye tell him that I am sick of love. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved, that thou dost so charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold, his locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we come together again in this evening hour, for the third time in this day to gather round thy word of truth. And without thy spirit, then we gather in vain, no. And then we gather only to receive more and a greater destruction unto ourselves. For we are those who do reject thee and thy holy word by nature. But we have heard what the opinion is of the daughters of Jerusalem concerning thy bride, concerning thy church. O thou fairest among women, O Lord, thou knowest the hearts of the daughters of Jerusalem that may also be in our midst, and that may say of that church that she is the fairest among women, that do desire to be included in the midst of that flock, and to be taken under the care of that great shepherd. Oh, that holy jealousy filling their hearts and minds. Oh, Lord, thou knowest where this people is. They are the daughters of Jerusalem. They are born in Jerusalem. They are the daughters of the land. They are thy own people, but they know not thee. Oh, they know not yet that great bridegroom. What is thy beloved? More than another beloved that thou dost so charge us. O Lord, wilt thou open their eyes that they may see also, that they may be given to speak even as that bride did speak, who has learned to see and to know the beauty of that second person of the divine Trinity, oh, that do say he is altogether lovely. He is the chiefest among 10,000. This is my beloved, O daughters of Jerusalem. O Lord, that thou may increase the knowledge of him in the life of thy own church. O that they also may forsake the sloth that is so often the part of their life, that they may be given with all their might to seek after that beloved, and that they may be instructed more and more in his beauty over against all of their own wretchedness, that they may say, I am black but comely. O Lord, that thou may teach us each and every one. O give that desire may be born in the hearts of those also in whom it has never been. Thou knowest the place also of those that have come up, that must confess that there is no beauty in him that I should desire him. Oh, then there is no longing after the things of God. O Lord, that thou, whose spirit goes about throughout this whole earth, and that thou, who hast the ability to raise the dead in and through the merits of thy dear and only begotten Son, oh, that thou, who art able to give what no man is able to give, and to do with that power that no man has in the heart of an unconverted and an unconcerned man, woman, boy, or girl. Oh, that thou would send forth thine arrows, the arrows of thy spirit, when we do cry unto thee in this evening hour as thy servant Solomon in the dedication of thy temple. Oh, that thou wouldest send thy spirit, and thou didst fill it, Lord, with thy spirit. Oh, thou canst speak, and thy spirit will come in the way of sense and presence, and that it may be felt amongst us, and that thou would give new life from the dead that may proceed from the life of the Son of God, who has been dead and is alive forevermore. O Lord, remember us then, each and every one. Wilt thou give to those who do not know thee, that they may also be given to know at least the feeling of that love that thou dost bestow unto the infants in grace, or that they may grow in the knowledge of thee, that they might grow in grace, O Lord. Then it is necessary to grow in the knowledge of ourselves. It is necessary to grow in our unworthiness. It is necessary to grow in our wretchedness. Oh, it is necessary to come deeper and deeper into that wretched misery that we have brought ourselves, and to know the depth of our fall. Oh, then we will know more and more of thy grace. Oh, that it may be experienced more and more in the life of thy children, and that thou may lead them also into those further steps of grace. Oh, Lord, thou knowest also the poverty of thy church, the days in which we do live. Oh, that thou may increase the knowledge of thee, that thou may increase the way of holiness wherein we must walk. Thou callest us to it. But this world has so much a place also so often in the life of thy people. Oh, that thou wouldst draw them again, Lord, and in a special way in this evening hour, as thou hast given in this afternoon food and drink in thy house of prayer. O Lord, that thou may give a humble and a thankful heart, and that thou may strengthen also in the way which is too much for thy children. It is a way that is through the wilderness. It is a way through droughts and deserts and pits. O Lord, thou knowest how that they do fall, how that they do wander. O thou alone dost watch over and protect and keep them, and that thou may give in the midst of us that desire that we might also leave this life, or that we may have that portion fulfilled in body and in soul, as the Apostle Paul, who said that he was ready to give his life. O Lord, he was ready to depart, to gain that treasure that is above all that is to be had here in this world. Care for us then, O Lord, in this evening hour, when we are gathered in a way of reflection, or that thou may give, when we have been in our seats in this afternoon hour, a reflection in our soul, or maybe not so much of a preparation for this day. Maybe, and that it was for us so easy because we do know that we stand on the outside. Oh, then it is so clear because of our life. But maybe, Lord, there is also amongst that people in a way even of historical knowledge, a desire. And then, Lord, we beseech thee that thou wilt bring it into the heart in this evening hour. Oh, do what thou alone canst do. Forgive, take away all of our many sins and give thy word a free course in the midst of us. Wilt thou teach us each one in the way we must go also in this world? And wilt thou uphold in all the needs and in the cares of this world and of this life? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 219, both stanzas. O thou great shepherd of thy chosen race, who leadest like a flock thy Israel dear, from out the cherubim reveal thy face before our host. Now let thy might appear. Come thou, O God, to save us and restore. We shall be saved when shines thy face once more. 1 and 2 of Psalter 219. beloved congregation, it is an hour of reflection. And what does it mean to reflect? I think, children, you also know the answer to that question. When we reflect, then we think back. We think back upon things that have happened, and we ponder them. And in an hour of reflection after the Holy Supper of the Lord, that is especially important. And why? Because there needs to be an application. You say the application needs to come from God, and that is true. But there is a certain sense in which we also must make an application unto ourselves. So do you all do that, to make application unto yourself when that word is coming, and when God's word is describing differences among people in this world? That is not just between the church and the world. That is also within the church, because we have heard that there are sheep. And the Lord speaks about those sheep. He says, when thou hast eaten and thou art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God. So those sheep, the true church of God, has a great obligation. They receive a privilege, and that not so many people in this world receive. Oh, do they ever think about that? How much do they ponder that? And when they are going about their life, and when sometimes going about their life even in a wrong way, and then taking with them those blessings that the Lord himself has given and privileged them with above so many people in this world. Thus it is in our natural life. Then we have a day of thanksgiving. But now also in a spiritual life, then it is so right and good and profitable for that true church to acknowledge all that the Lord has given unto them. But we know God's word also says that there are other than sheep. God's word speaks about goats. Oh, are we a goat? Oh, then those goats, they are not only in the world, they are also in God's house. Because in God's house there are wheat and tares. There are good fishes and there are bad fishes. Oh, do we make application then to ourselves? That we ask ourselves, how stands it between God and our soul? Because then for you there is still a calling, there is still a day of grace. We read in God's word there are also wolves. Those wolves are even in the church. And Solomon talks about foxes that spoil the vines. That is even worse than to be a goat. He would say that is to foster, and that is to bring about, that is to desire that church of God would be destroyed, and to bring within that church the things that do destroy that those helpless sheep. And now for them, there is also a day of repentance. There are also warnings that they turn away from this wickedness. There are also lambs, little lambs of the flock of God. And they are lambs that need to be carried. They are lambs that need to be instructed. They are lambs that need to grow. They are lambs that need to be encouraged, and that they may walk with that flock. We read in about those daughters of Jerusalem, how that they were following then with desire, with little knowledge, but also often with much love. And we so hope, congregation, We so hope that those people, those little lambs, still may be amongst us, or that are not able to come forth, as it were, to break forth in the midst of the congregation, but in whom the Lord is yet working and has begun that good work of grace in your heart. We do not know that yet. The Lord has to bring that to fruition. But he does everything in order. And then he does that also with such blessedness and such sweetness. Let us go to our text. Psalm 23, verse 3. Psalm 23, verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So far the words of our text. The great shepherd restores his sheep. First, the necessity of this restoration. And second, the end and the purpose of this restoration. The great shepherd restores his sheep. First, the necessity. Second, the end or purpose of this restoration. He restoreth my soul. That is, he brings it back, or he turns me back again. He refreshes, he repairs, as it were, we might say. He converts my soul. He turns my soul. Then you say, what does David mean? So that immediately brings a question about the circumstances of this statement and the necessity. Why was that necessary? He restoreth my soul. So David, we understand, has been using that metaphor of a sheep. And now another characteristic is coming to the foreground of sheep. And what is that characteristic? That is, congregation, the proneness of sheep to wander. That is, that they will instinctively follow just a fresh amount of grass, and then they can very easily be led astray. And these sheep are very social animals, so they also very easily will just follow one another. And sheep are also very short-sighted animals. They cannot judge depth, and they cannot see too far into the distance. Oh, the Lord knows how to describe his church here below. And he knows what to compare his church unto. And that is all for the comfort and for the instruction of his own people. Thus, when David says, he restoreth my soul, then he is speaking about a sheep who has now wandered away from his place. He has wandered away from his shepherd, and he has wandered away from the fold. If we will ask God's people if they may now recognize something of this, then their heart will become sad. Then they will find immediately their place among such a wandering sheep. But you know that characteristic of proneness to wandering, that is not the only characteristic that makes this restoration necessary, because our first point is the necessity of this restoration, the necessity of being brought back. And then the proneness to wander is not the only thing, but there is also something else. And that is the inability of such a sheep to find his way back again to that fold. So that is now the second characteristic, which is making it necessary that such a wandering sheep is restored. All wandering sheep are helpless to recover themselves. These sheep have no sense of direction. The further they wander away, the more ensnared that they become in their lost condition. And those sheep are susceptible, because they have a thick woolly coat, susceptible to all kinds of objects clinging to them in that hot and dry desert, and then to easily get caught amongst the thickets in that Judean wilderness. Sometimes they would get a cut. Sometimes they would have a little wound. And then that wound, uncared for in that hot and dry weather, would easily become infected. Sometimes in the desert there was a very intense heat, an intense sun, lack of water. And these were common dangers for these sheep, especially if they would wander away from the shepherd and from that flock. And now if that domesticated sheep would fall and he would roll on his back, he was not able to recover himself. That is called being cast. They call that a cast sheep. I don't know if you have ever seen that, boys and girls, but you can see that if you look for pictures of that or a video of that. You want to use your phone, right? There is something good to use it for. You can look that up, a cast sheep. And then you just watch and you see what that looks like. And then you watch the impossibility of that sheep to recover himself. And then you must think to yourself, that is now the way that the the Lord is is describing his people. That is the way that the Lord is describing his church while it is here upon the world. Because such a sheep, and they say, it will soon die if he is rolled on his back, because the weight of those heavy organs are pressing on his diaphragm, and then he is soon suffocated under that weight. Of course, that animal is no longer upright. He is now upside down. So the contents of his stomach are then flowing up into the esophagus and then coming into the lungs, so that sheep is very liable to choking. And then if that sheep is kicking its feet in being frantic and trying to recover itself, then it is very quickly exhausted. And very soon, such an animal, when it is in the wilderness and away from the shepherd, will become a very easy prey to the wild animals. And then David, he says, he restoreth my soul. Oh, when David said that, then David was well acquainted with the necessity of the restoration of a sheep that has wandered away from his place. And thus David makes application of this unto himself. And that was by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, not just to himself. No, but that was also concerning the entire church of God, that David is there, as it were, representing. And so these all come to know also what David did experience in his own life. The Lord Jesus, when he was in the world, divided the world into two parts. And he says, in the judgment, that is in the judgment day, he said, then there will be sheep. And he says, then there will be goats. There's only two. There is nothing that is in between. Of course, before the judgment day, then there can be different conditions that are in the life of God's people. And there are also, of course, those that are outside yet of the kingdom of God that still must be brought in. Thus, it will be different in that sense on the judgment day, because then the time of grace is at an end, and then there is only sheep and there are only goats. And that is not in the same sense, of course, that we can divide men in these days. But you say, how can I know now? How can I know where I stand before God? Well, congregation, that is by our characteristics, because a sheep and a goat are very different animals. A goat is not like a sheep. At least a goat is not like a domesticated sheep. So we have talked about sheep that were not yet domesticated, but here we're speaking about a domesticated sheep. And how are goats different than domesticated sheep? That is very important. And what is the main difference between those two? Well, the goat can easily help himself. There you have it. That is now the great difference between a goat and a domesticated sheep. A goat congregation is able to find its own way. A goat is not as a sheep in the sense that a goat has a much better sense of direction than a sheep does. A goat is not so nearsighted like a sheep is. And if a goat falls, then he kicks a little bit, and that goat is able to recover himself once again. Do you understand it? So we have who the Lord says is man by nature. We have man that is without grace. And when the Lord says then he is going to divide them between the sheep and the goats, then he says here will be the sheep, and they could not help themselves, that they needed to be helped. And here will be the goats, and they all had this ability that was within themselves. Thus, man by nature, he is a member of what we say, help yourself. That is man by nature. What is it? It is actually that we do not understand, we do not receive the depth of our fall, that we are dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. And that is now what the Lord is calling a goat. Of course, we have talked about the sheep, and we said that there are also wild sheep. A wild sheep is what? You say, well, that is not a goat, that is a sheep. But it is a sheep that is not yet domesticated. So it is not yet bred to be that in that flock that is of the Lord. And now a wild sheep is very much like unto a goat. A wild sheep is also, has so many of the characteristics of a goat. And thus we have this man who is, we have the difference between the elect and the reprobate, and we have an elect person that is not yet regenerated. Then you cannot tell the difference between this wild sheep and the goats. Then he looks the same. Maybe he is going, young people, to the same places that you go in the world. Or maybe he is a man of religion, even as the Apostle Paul before his conversion. And yet, you say he was not a goat. No, he was not among the reprobate. He was actually among the sheep. But he was not yet converted. He was not yet, we would say, domesticated. And now in one thing, these wild sheep and these goats are the same. And what is it? They are all able still to help themselves. Congregation, we don't say the length. We don't say the breadth. We don't say the depth. But we say the truth of this. The truth of this needs to be known by us. The truth of this needs to be experienced by us. That is not something, helplessness is not something that we bring upon ourselves, never. No, we are always fighting to be able to do skin for skin. All that a man hath, he will give for his life. He will do everything. And he will never himself take the place of a sheep. He has to be domesticated. He has to be made into such a sheep. We are not saved, congregation, by the sacraments. Many are saved without the sacraments, but multitudes are lost. Also with the sacraments, thus never look to the sacraments. If we have partaken of sacraments and we say we have never experienced what it is to be such a sheep, to be such a helpless sheep, a cast sheep, then we need to ask the Lord to forgive us. Then we need to ask the Lord to lead us into that way that the Lord is leading every single one of his own people. The congregation, on the other hand, do we sit careless, watching all that the Lord has instituted within that church of God? And do we say, I am still in my lost state. I am still in my lost condition. That is good that you acknowledge it. If you say that is true, it is good that you acknowledge it. But there is something that is not good. And what is that? Why does it not affect you? Why? Can we go to God's house and we can go home again from God's house? And we can say, I am on the outside of that people, and maybe we even say, without any affection. Yeah, they are a blessed people. And then we go on again. And then the things of this world, they take congregation up our whole life. Say, I can't do anything about it. Is that right? The Lord has to make me a sheep. And therefore, I just come to God's house and I go home again. And I do all my work and I come to God's house next Sunday and I go do all my work the next week and I just come and go from the place of the holy and then are buried as a wicked man. And I think I'm doing my duty. And as long as I do my duty, because I read the Bible every day, and I go to church. So what do you want me to do? Because I cannot convert myself. Congregation, if we say that, and if that is now deep in our heart, oh, then we only prove we're a goat. That is all we do. We prove it by our attitude. We prove it by our rebellion. Actually, say, I go to church. You call me a rebel? Oh, congregation. When we think that just in an outward way to do our duty, all then the Lord owes us something, we're wrong. We're very, very wrong. No, the Lord calls us to do something else. The Lord calls us to more than just some outward duty whereby that we can make our conscience to be quiet, as it were. No, the Lord calls us to turn. The Lord calls us to repent of our sin, of our unbelief. That we do not believe the word of God. That we say that tomorrow shall be as this day and it shall be much more abundant. That is what we say. And we are lovers of this world. While at the same time that we are trying to cover our conscience with our outward duties. Oh, the Lord is still gathering his sheep. Do you believe that? Oh, today, the Lord is gathering his sheep. Ah, you say, there was just a few people there, minister. I said that too in my heart. Because congregation, I long. I long that the Lord would give some breaking forth in the midst of us. You can imagine, we have been here almost 20 years. And then a minister will say, oh Lord, where's the fruit? Where's the fruit? Now, why am I here? And I know that is not all to be seen. And I know that there are also here many young. The congregation, are there those also here that sit with a holy longing and with a holy desire? And that say of that people that that is now the beloved of the Lord, the fairest among women,
you say to children, you say, the fairest among women, oh, could I my number, could I be numbered among that people? Oh, bless me, Lord, with that favor that thou bearest among thy people. How many? I don't know how many. Oh, I hope there are those that we do not know of, and that eternity may tell that there is still a little fruit that has come upon the many labors of the consistory and also of our hands. Oh, I know that there are those who are not careless. I know that. And I know that there are those who are waiting and who say, Lord, when shall it be also for me? And when will my eyes be opened to see who that beloved is? Oh, people, if that is now your desire, if that is living in the bottom of your heart, then do not give up. Oh, take courage. Take courage. Because the Lord, He does not do it overnight. I know He doesn't. But, you know, there are, we speak about goats, right? And we speak about also the wild sheep. Ah, children, you know, a wild sheep, we said, that is so much like a goat. And if you maybe have a desire, you say, well, am I truly converted? I don't know. You know, sometimes that's just like a morning cloud in people. Comes, it stays a little while, then it's gone. And they have a profession. But just like the morning cloud, that is then passing away. So I cannot tell you, because it was Christian that come out of the city of destruction, and also pliable, and he was convinced by another man, and that it was not true. No congregation that has to come from heaven. But I will tell you something. So you have a lamb, right? A little lamb. And that lamb will grow up into be a sheep. Eh? And that little lamb is not a goat. It's not a goat. But when that sheep is little like a lamb, then it is more able to help itself than the sheep. So we say that again. That little lamb is more able to help himself than the sheep. What does that mean? That means that characteristic of that sheep, that helplessness, is something that grows. Is something that increases. So if you say, am I now a little lamb? Or am I a goat? Well, then you must watch the direction that it goes in your life. Because for the lamb, then he will increase in his
inability to help, in his ability to help himself. He will increase in his inability. The goat does not. He does not. So you must watch that in your life. That is something that a man feels goes in the wrong way. That is something that a man fights against. But it is now exactly the way that the Lord is making his sheep to grow. That is never the way the goat is led in, especially that religious goat. Because with them it is actually the opposite. And then you can recognize that in their walk and in their talk. The Bible says, by their fruits ye shall know them. And they don't understand. No, it is not only that they do not understand, but they are impatient. Even more, they are irritated with those sheep in their helplessness. Ah, that is now among really the wolves and the foxes that are spoiling those vines and those tender grapes. Oh, they are irritated. And they have no time for the people. No patience for the people who are actually of the flock of God. David says, he restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. It is a shame, such a shame. But it is the common truth that the Lord says, my people have forgotten me days without number. Who could fathom that? My people, with the privilege, that singular privilege in the world, that the Lord has given unto my people. You know what the Lord said to the angel, to the minister of the church of Ephesus? He says, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Ah, there you have it. Ah, that is the common wandering of the true people of God. Do you know what we read of Solomon? It's 700 wives and 300 concubines. That is now the church of God. That is now the church of God. With 1,000 others to whom that they have given themselves. 1,000 of them. And then we read his wives turned away his heart. And then the Lord was angry. The Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart that was turned away from the Lord God of Israel, who appeared unto him twice. Lord ever appeared to you? How many times? It's a wonder if the Lord would appear to us one time. But the Lord says, Solomon was a greatly privileged man among my people. I appeared unto him 2 times. And then the Lord held him accountable for this. Such a privilege that Solomon received above the people of God because the Lord appeared unto him twice. And now how great a sin is that sin against received grace. It's a wonder, congregation, that it's not unforgivable. Unforgivable. But it certainly is chastisable, because that people can feel so dead. They are not dead, but they can feel so dead that they wonder if there was any life that was ever in their soul. And let them try to get that life back. Let them try to do that. And then they will know that they have to smart for all of their wanderings. Or the bride said to the daughters of Jerusalem, if thou find my beloved, tell him that I am sick of love. If you find him. Oh, she thought that those daughters of Jerusalem, in the beginning of that life, she says, you are closer, I think, to finding him than I am. And when you find him, oh, remember me in your supplications, in your inner chamber, and tell him, oh, tell him that I am sick of love. Why? O congregation, then she desired that he would return unto her, because she could not return unto him. That is now not only the first time, but that is also by renewal. Solomon's father, he experienced the same thing in that spiritual life. He says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. What is it? It is the necessity of that restoration. Let us sing 342, 3 and 4. For thy salvation I have longed, and in thy law is my delight. Enrich my soul with life divine, and help me by thy judgments right. 3 and 4 of 342.
Thank you.
The great shepherd restores his sheep. First, the necessity of this restoration. Second, the end or purpose of this restoration. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So who leadeth me? David says, the Lord is my shepherd. He restoreth. He leadeth me. That is, the great shepherd has not forgotten his sheep. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion upon the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. That is possible. Yet will not I forget thee. 9 months. 9 months. David's bones waxed old through his roaring all the day long. For 9 months. Say, why didn't he do something about it? Because he couldn't. Because he couldn't. Because he needed to be restored. Because he was one of the sheep of God. And no man can bring himself to the place where he needs to be brought. But that great shepherd, he has not forgotten his sheep. And he has heard in heaven the roaring of the bones of David. And he has spoken to his servant Nathan. And he has sent him to David as that great shepherd. That is now the work of that shepherd of his sheep. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And now that leading, it includes a certain gentleness. There is such a gentleness of that shepherd when he is leading that wandering sheep back again into his fold. That is a wonder. A wonder. That is to that wandering sheep. David says, thy gentleness hath made me great. And the meaning of that word is humility. That is as if the Lord, he did not do it from heaven. He did not do it in his majesty. He did not do it in his wrath. No. But he came down. And he met his people in their sin, in their wandering. And he dealt with them so gently. And now the wandering of the church at the gentleness of the leading of the Lord, that is on account of the knowledge of their unworthiness. That the Lord does not deal with them according to the measure of their sins, but he is gently leading them back again. I sleep, the bride says. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh. He knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. Ah, how gentle is now that word of that shepherd coming. He is knocking and he is calling, and she is sleeping and she hears it. and she hears it. Ah, she is in the world, and she hears it. She says it is his voice. She recognizes that voice, maybe from many years ago. And then he is coming back, very softly, very gently, in the wandering condition that she is. She says, it is the voice of my beloved. And he is calling, and she is resisting, resisting. Can you imagine? Can you imagine resisting? I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? Oh, that bride who has received so many privileges in her life, who has received a treasure over all this world. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? She resists. He persists. He persists. Why? He is a shepherd. And that is my sheep. That is why. And she has wandered away. And so he puts in his hand by that hole of the door. And then we read something. We read her bowels. My bowels were moved for him. Congregation, that is done then. Then it's done. Then the snare is broken. And she is escaped. Her bowels. All that is the affections. Now she is broken. In the way wherein she has been walking. In the way wherein she has wandered. Away from him. That is now the gentleness of that sheep, of that shepherd. When he is leading, when he is restoring his wandering sheep, does not force them. No. Does not force them. But he has a willing people. In the day of his power, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Ah, that is the path they wandered away from. That they may go in a different path. What path? Oh, they have wandered in the path of carnality. Carnality. Covered over by formality, so that no one can see it, except for the most perceptive amongst that flock of God. She has wandered in that path of duty religion. To silence her conscience. To just a whisper. But she can never get rid of it altogether. She is walking in a path of loneliness. She knows it. She feels it. But she keeps herself busy. With all the necessities that are in this world, until he comes, that great shepherd, leads her back again, gently, onto those paths of righteousness. Ah, he says, return, ye backsliding children. And I will heal your backslidings. And then, then she says, behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Oh, that snare that is broken. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I am known of mine. Ah, then that prayer chamber, that is congregation, occupied again. She arises, she opens, we read, to her beloved, but he withdraws himself. She seeks him, she calls him, she cannot find him. He gives her no answer. The world that is forsaken again, and every former friend, all that first love that is inflamed again. Ah, we would say her conversation that is rectified. Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? Does she still love him? Oh, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? He makes her honest. He makes her honest with herself about her bosom sins, about her secret sins, which have so grieved him, and for which he has, in fact, withdrawn himself. He draws out her supplications that are unto him again, and then he renews, oh, those gracious views of that Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Ah, he humbles her under those undeserving applications of his free and his sovereign grace. And now he leads her into the paths of righteousness. He leads her back to the paths of his righteousness. Ah, that he has merited for that church. And he makes her, even in his goodness, in his mercy, in his gentleness, to lie down again. To lie down again in those pastures, the pastures of that great shepherd, and leads her beside those blessed still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. For his name's sake, ah, for his name's sake, O congregation, for that people, that is growing, the longer that they live, that is growing, it is for his name's sake. Oh, from the side of that people, they have sinned it away over and over, over again, and made themselves 1,000 times unworthy that he would return unto her again. But he leads her. That is now my sheep. He leads her in the paths of righteousness. He leads her in the paths of sanctification for his name's sake, because obedience now to that law of God, that is now for his honor. That is what we left. That is what we departed from in paradise. And now he is restoring his church and leading them unto the glory of his name. They could not bring themselves there. That is what they learn. And they do not learn that once, but they learn that over and over and over again in their life. And now he leads them back. Oh, congregation, what does Christ say? Fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. No matter how far that people stray away, it is impossible that that church is lost. Impossible. Not because of their faith. Not because of their faithfulness. No, despite it. Despite everything. Oh, it is His good pleasure to give Him the kingdom. Ah, sell, He says, that you have. And give alms. Provide yourself bags that wax not old. Oh, when thou hast eaten and are full, then beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Use this world as not abusing it, for the passion of this world passeth away. The Lord lead. The Lord lead His people more and more. O congregation, I hope that there can be in our midst. We have tried a little bit to make you jealous. Young people, if we could just make you jealous. But it all has to come from on high. It has to come from heaven. Oh, ask the Lord to make you jealous of that people. That you might seek to be one, a little lamb of that flock. Because when you are a little lamb of that flock, oh, then you shall never perish. Because it is that great shepherd in His faithfulness who knows His sheep. And He says to His Father, not one of them is lost. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we may acknowledge Thee that Thou hast given a few words to speak also in this evening hour. Sanctify and bless all that has taken place in this day. And oh, give that it may be all to the glory and to the honor of Thy most worthy name. Wilt Thou dismiss us with Thy blessing, bring us safely to our places, and help us, each one in the place that we have in this week, and look upon us and remember us when we hope to gather with our family, with the congregation, and with our children, to bring a dear daughter and granddaughter to the grave. Oh Lord, give quietness and give help all from above. And wilt Thou forgive and take away all our sin for Jesus' sake. Amen. 111, 1, 2, and 4. I waited for the Lord Most High, and He inclined to hear my cry. He took me from destruction's pit and from the miry clay. Upon a rock He set my feet and steadfast made my way. 1, 2, and 4 of 111.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.